Welcome to part two of the RHOM exclusive Tell All with Gamble Bro. Oh, we still have a couple of things to go over. So we're going to jump into Janet's TIAD, Gamble's art exhibition, and then the big reveal. So how I came into this season, what went down that prompted it to be brought up on the show. So you're going to love this tea. It is juicy. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. So you've really, in my opinion, taken center stage this season. Hear me out here. The reason why I say that is because I think like your sense of humor has really come out a lot more this season, where like, I guess with Lydia, the Lydiaisms in the previous seasons kind of were a bit more prominent, right?
Oh, she's hilarious. It got my feet in this season, you know what I mean? And honestly, Jen, who's funnier than Gina? I mean, Gina's hilarious. You know, like, I mean, I miss them for that. But in another way, I don't miss them because it's actually been great for Janet and I to actually, you know, I don't know. And New Girls have been great in their funny ways. I mean, Blunty Cunty, she can be really, sorry, I shouldn't say that on your show. Let's call her Blunty Cunty for now. She got a promotion to Cunty Cunty last week. But yes. I've been calling her that the way through because I see things that and she just say things bluntly and you're like, whoa. And once people tune into her, they'll find her very funny because she's very, oh, really, Gamble, what would we do without you here to tell us how to do it? And then she laughs at her own jokes. She goes, It's like when she, you know, she goes, oh, well, that was a funny one. Like, so, but she says it in a way that's kind of like, you know, some super villain, like,
shit.
I'm actually quite like, I like all the girls, don't get me wrong, they're funny. Yep. And I'm actually glad that we've got some spice to it now because I actually honestly didn't think that. Janet had just put them up at her house. She had just had the most gracious peacemaking thing because Janet didn't want to be the villain this year. And she's I just done my ad, I'll put them up, no arguing at the house, like really? No arguing, and there wasn't, and yet we had a great time. We all got trashed together. We had a ball, and the girls were great, and we had so much fun. It was really like this sense of community happened, mm-hmm. And then on the back of it to be such bitches, the reason that they didn't get speaking parts in Janet's ad is they didn't read the script.
Acting 101, read the script.
Being bitches. Kyla was being a total snob to me off camera, right up herself, so far up herself, like, I mean, like inside out, so up herself. And I'm like, how fucking dare you? I've done nothing mean to Kyla. She's there all like, oh, really? And I'm running around with the script so excited. Where's the script? And I had Janet send it to me. And because I've been doing some night classes at NIDA at the time.
Yeah.
I wanted to hone these new skills I had. And I'm running around this script and they're like, oh, it's only a couple of lines. I'm like, a couple of lines is harder than you think, right? Because you have to do it. Once that camera's rolling, rehearsal time's free time, right? So learning those lines when the camera's not rolling is going to be a professional thing to do. Mm. So then I find these girls. I'm like, do you guys want to do the lines? Let's do the lines together. And I don't mean their kind of lines. I mean the lines on the script. And
shit.
Oh, it's so naughty. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Anyway, so I'm like, come on, girls, let's do the lines. Come on, let's do these lines. And she's like, And Kelly's like, it's only a couple of and Cherry's like, yeah, go in total cunt mode as well. I'm like, oh God, fuck, I don't care. So I went outside, I'm running around, I couldn't find anyone. And then I found these girls in shirts,
yes.
And I'm making coffee. And I said, what are you guys doing? They're like, making coffees. I said, fuck them, they can get their own coffee. Help me do these lines. They're like, okay. And it turned out those girls were the producers of Yes. And so they were making coffee. I thought they were the caterers because, you know, there's so many women in TV, never underestimate who you're talking to. But they literally were in matching T-shirts, which I've never seen on a production before.
Yeah.
But they were doing a TV production.
Yeah.
I thought they were from a catering company because, you know, I mean, what else would you think? They're making coffee for everyone. I thought them. And we had so much fun. So I got the lines, more lines than them.
Yeah.
And I mean, but at the end of the day, we get up there and so there's this thing, like the script goes out and then there were a few lines, but Janet has to look off camera and then we have to go like voice of God's above us when it does the voice change and we can't actually hear it. So there's a sequence to it and they didn't know where they're supposed to be looking and, you know, like so Janet said, it's supposed to be like, who are you talking to, Janet? Because she's supposed to be going sneakily doing this like this key ad whilst she's got us all in frame.
Yeah.
And they hadn't read the script. And so it was like this poor director's trying to tell them what to do. And I'm trying to tell him. I wasn't telling him how to direct it. I'm like, they haven't read the script.
But they claim to be actors, though.
Oh, I know. What actress doesn't love a script like a meal? It's like, oh, my God, it's like you haven't eaten for years. You're like, oh, I don't want to. Oh, because you know, it's hard to get acting work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To not read the script is just bullshit. And when I said Janet, and I was talking about Labani for the actions at Janet's Samba party because we mucked around a bit, she had no idea what I was talking about. So unless she did her acting lessons where she's forgotten everything, I don't know.
Your art exhibition, the significance of the exhibition was obviously, you know, it was your father's artwork. What made you bring it onto the show?
Well, my dad was one of the youngest commissioned artists to work for the government. He started, I actually found another article, I think where he was 16, no, 14 or 15, at some ridiculous age, but 16, wow. Doing a coat of arms for the library, the state library. So he did it. He was working with the government for years. So he's done a lot of public sculptures and the private works of my dad are quite awe-inspiring and dark. And a lot of his commercial work was influential. So there's an opera program of the Opera House. It was done in 1971, and it's just one paintbrush line of the Opera House, which it kind of, I guess, reminds me a bit of Japanese work. But a certain artist by the name of possibly Ken had a... maybe I feel that maybe he influenced him a little bit but that's something you'd have to ask him down. But I just think that Dad was influential in so many ways. And I knew where everything was because I'm from a divorced family and so I knew who had what. So if I didn't get the artwork scanned, restored, they'd be lost forever. Or people would pick up and this is an important artist, whereas all the work, it dies with my generation knowing where it all was. So I got it to scan it. And it was really important to me. I was on my hands and knees begging people to do it because I think they thought I was mad. But once you have a deadline on your dreams or your promises, which I promised Dad I'd make him famous, not knowing he probably already was, Dad's responsible for a big surfing sculpture that's part of surf culture in Sydney.
Right. It's,
all of the artworks in the Surf Museum, which is along the foreshore at Harbord, and it was commissioned by Harbord Diggers, and so people do that walk, and it remembers all these great surfers, but who was the artist? And so it just makes it. He did like, you know, stamps of koalas and these beautiful artworks, and I just want people to know that. Who he was, and also there, a lot of our artists aren't that well documented from that period. Right. I think that if you didn't have a great PR agent, but you can be a great artist, and without the right PR, you just don't get noticed. So I still want to hold an exhibition at Harbord Diggers, and I talked to them before we had COVID, and it's been beautiful to film there on the cliff face at Harbour is stunning with the surfer of the Duke who popularised surfing in Australia.
Yeah.
We'll get there one day. So now I've got all the work done. I just have to wait for COVID to calm down and we've all had it, then we can go and hold an exhibition. And yeah.
Did somebody say it's time to hold two housewives accountable? Oh, wait, I did. You would have heard the allegations of Kyla and Angelie leaking stories to social media outlets and journalists. So, this is the part where you guys get to find out what the hell went down. So, I had a journalist who I disclosed to you, right? So, he was sending all this information, which you saw, which we can go through some of it, actually, because I've got the grab here. Janet befriends Kyla. Kyla reveals personal information that Janet then spreads to the group. The group searches for the truth. Kyla gets upset. As a result, there is a gang up on Janet and Janet threatened to assault Kyla Kirkpatrick.
Kyla told Janet a lot of stuff before she was on the show and Janet knew her from the past.
Yeah.
So that's how Janet has a lot of intel on Kyla. And also, I mean, anyone who professes to be a dame or a lady or whatever, I mean, they instantly smell a bit off.
It was just started to be really disparaging stuff like that, right? That made me go, And because, you know, I'm a fan of the show, I wanted to get people hyped. And I understand.
Yeah, because they're selling a narrative of theirs. It was selling their narrative.
Yeah, which in turn I found out. And I felt awful because I thought, like, holy shit, like, I started seeing things on social media from the women and was, you know, reporting on that. And then that it was all kind of coming together. And then that's at that point, I think after Shine It Up was when you reached out to me and then we got involved and we were trying to figure out, like,
you were all over it.
I found an account talking about how you, Janet and Simone were like the mean girls. So I went and spoke to them and I was like, have you talked to Angelie? Have you talked to Kyla? And they went, yes. Are they telling you information? And they were like, here and there, like, we're friends. And I was like, fuck, here we go. Like, this, he's a lead. Like, we've got him.
Yeah.
After that, they didn't want anything to do with me. So they went and blocked me.
Oh, didn't you find a Facebook account?
And I also found a Twitter account.
You found out who was doing it.
Yeah.
It was there. It was like.
And then what ended up happening was that same person leaked one of the promos that I also discovered.
Yeah. That's right, because you helped us unwind that, and that's why Z loves you, Foxtel. You actually helped find out who was leaking this stuff. They worked so hard to get these promos and everything done. But, you know, reaching out to Foxtel isn't a bad thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The social commentators are more important to us than anything, really. I mean, this is where our culture is. This is where our entertainment and having a bit of fun on social media. It's entertaining. It's a pleasant distraction. Mm. You're my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
I find this stuff from obscure places and I'm like, oh, what has Janet done this time? Janet had her phone confiscated by her son. So anyway, so it wasn't actually Kyla and Angelie doing in the end.
It was an account that they were saying could be Angelie and Kyla.
Yeah, I think so.
So
you know when something beats a bit differently, you can tell. We've all been around for a long time. Just go down the feed.
Yeah.
You can tell. That's why I knew you were authentic. I think that you talked about on the show. Like, you know when people are authentic and it's just entertainment and it's a light, you know, a pleasant escape from the pandemic and other boring stuff that we have it live. I follow it because it's funny and it's entertaining, but then you see someone who's definitely got their own narrative to spin.
But when we were chatting and kind of getting into stuff and trying to, you know, work stuff out, you mentioned you were like, okay, I'm going to bring this up at finale.
You ended up getting sucked into that last dinner and what's good about that is that you'll know a lot of the juicy stuff doesn't always make it. So this is kind of good because you've got some scoops in here. We've gone through all your text messages and we've tried to unravel this because there was so much leakage happening through this. It's like it was going to destroy the show. Do you know what I mean? I just said the truth. I said, I defended Kyla because Janet was accusing Kyla of being you. And I said, no, he is a legitimate social commentator. He's got a good history. He's very nice to talk to. He's a normal person. There is a person behind that keyboard. You know all of the different people that I've known over the years. You're fine. Because she was trying to accuse Kyla of being your account. I said, no, 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 no. He is a good account. I'm sure Kyla's wouldn't be this, you know, let's not Kyla, right? So I came in defending Kyla. Kyla, still coming at me. I'm actually trying to, right until the bloody end, I've been defending this girl against Janet, right, at times. Like, even Mo Janet's my best friend. I'm like, Janet, it's not. I said, if you're going to accuse her of something, get it right, right? So but I told Janet that you're not Kyla. And I can talk to Janet often on camera because I'm not in a new relationship with her. But I never shot once individually with Kyla or with Cherry. How weird is that, right? Anyway, so I finally get together with them. And straight after that, because I'd spoken about you and I'd spoken about a few things, and I was saying, listen, you know, I've defended you. I've got Janet off you. I actually know who Dan is. Mm-hmm. And he is a decent guy. I had a good conversation with him. So tell me the truth. Is it Angela who's leaking this stuff? Where's it coming from? Because it was Janet had been dragged to HR. And once you get to that level, then you're in trouble with me because we're here to make entertainment during a pandemic, feisty girls. And there's no, there's, you know what? You don't come in here with no background, backbone and go, oh, she hurt my feelings. That's not how this show works. You slap them back. You know what I mean? If someone slaps you, punch them back. It's like, sure, with my, you know. So I get a text message from Kyla saying, let's all agree that we're not going to do blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm not agreeing on anything. And is this how your packs start? Don't try and get me in one of your packs because it can happen very subtly. She tried to get me in a pack. The second she thought that she had me on the side, tried to get me to do a group thing so you have this group secret.
Oh,
and I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I love Janet. I love Jackie. I love them. I really love them.
Yeah.
And like to all the old girls, but I think for myself, and when I think that they're wrong or they think I'm wrong, we call each other on it. And that's why we've been making it through this show. And for Kyla to try and get me, I just knew exactly how she got Angela and how she got Cherry roped in just from trying. That was her first move to make me agree to do something, you know, like a pact. And I was like, no.
You may be wondering, where is all the evidence? Well, the evidence was shown at the finale dinner. But unfortunately, Kyla Kirkpatrick wanted to suppress a lot out of what was in the finale dinner. So, unfortunately, you guys didn't get to see the full picture, right? The full picture. And I'm telling you, there is some stuff that happened that night that is absolutely disgusting. And I'm appalled at the behavior and at some of the things that I've heard. If you are not guilty, you do not need to gag nor suppress any information from being released. If something is going to play out, it just plays out. You own the behavior and you move on. I think it's pretty simple, right? But I don't know. I think the gag order speaks for itself, guys. Like I said, there was a full investigation with Foxtel and we got to the bottom of it. That is the truth. I really wish we got to see more of the dinner. I really wish we got to see more of the reveal because it would have made so much more sense and would have brought the whole storyline, I guess, to a close. But there is a suspect that I didn't know about that, let's just say, was on another reality show about construction. But that's just a rumor. Should the Twitter ninja find out? Absolutely. One last question and then I'll let you go. What direction do you feel the show needs to go in for season six, if there's a season six? Do you know if there's a season six potentially?
I think, I quite frankly think Kyla should stay.
Yeah, me too, actually.
I like Kyla. I would hope that Jackie and Janet would stay.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Dina back. I know that we can see Lydia back. I'm fairly confident. Possibly a Petit Fleur. I think a nice variety would be good. I'd like to come back if they do have another season. You've got to understand I had a lot of work put into my last this last season, so I'd like to just continue working. So I'm going to get on with my life like I've not got another season. and just keep putting my music out and keep writing. I've got a book that I'm halfway through, and I just, that's about, you know, the different diversities of Sydney from when I was living there when I was younger and that sort of stuff. Cool. And so, yeah, so it'd be fun just to see people again. I think it'd be great to see Patty Fleur. She's fantastic now that she's, you know, when people are in bad relationships on this show, they don't resonate to the audience. And I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that Angela was in a bad relationship, but she would have been a great housewife. I don't know what the hell. I don't know why she had to come in and up our whole format. She blamed the producer. Oh, they didn't tell her what she was getting into. And she's a journalist. She said that she stands by everything that she said, that she's basically the new Gina. And, you know, that, you know.
Name, fuck, the new Gina.
Like, please give me a break. I mean, Gina's
Gina. You know, like everybody.
Gina is a good, is a tobacco chewing cowgirl. You know what I mean? Like, she's funny and she's not trying to be anything like posh or smell. She's just smart. She's not going, I'm superior. You know, she doesn't sit there going, I've spent, you know, the whatever. I'm just saying.
Do you know what we should do, Gamble? We should start our own movement, our own revolution.
What?
We should start our own, like, group. We gather people.
From how? What are we going to do?
I don't know.
A dance party?
A dance party. I don't know. Rule the world.
I don't know. Stand for PM. I'd vote for you. You've got my vote, Nash.
Thank you.
I seriously, you actually do have my vote. If you do have a party, I'm coming and I'll vote for you.
Lovely.
It's so nice to know you. Let's catch up off this thing too.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll talk about a party I'm planning. But that is a private party.
I love it. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
My house, so I'll promise you. I love you, man.
I love you too.
Yeah. Bye.
So there we have it. Part two with Gamble Bro has concluded. And we're at the end of the season for the RHM exclusive podcast. It has been an absolute pleasure coming on every week, recapping and giving social commentary for the past, you know, 6 months on Twitter. I have felt so welcomed and so loved by the Twitter community. And yes, at times we haven't always agreed, but I think we can or have respected each other enough to accept our differences and just continue on. I want to say a huge thank you to Foxtel. They have been absolutely amazing, in particular Dee. We have really nurtured a great working relationship, but of course, none of that would be possible without Gamble. I want to congratulate the ladies and the production team on what was a pretty fucking good season. Everybody has their opinions at the end of the day, but in my personal opinion, it was a great season. There was drama, there was laughs, there was emotional moments. Unfortunately, there were suppressed storylines, which I wish would play out, but I'm so grateful to have been featured and just being able to have the show back on our screens. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for your support and your love. I would not be here every week if it weren't for you guys and weren't for the love of the show that I have. Big shout out again to Gamble for doing this interview. It was a long time coming. From this experience has come a beautiful friendship. I'm going to enjoy my break and I will be back for season 6. So never fear, Twitter Ninja is always near. Bye guys.